He said, all the papers he prepared, at least a man they had denied severally. When he came next, they didn't check anything. The same person who denied him before, he didn't even look at his face. Bang, bang, yeah, go. He said, why? Because he heard the word of God preached. I just told my story to explain a point. He said, suddenly he got it. He said, he filled his forms and didn't tell one single lie. Are you married? No, I am not married. How old are you? I think he said he's about 30-something. Perfect age not to give a visa. He's single, you understand? He's in his early 30s. Americans know that you won't come back. He said he told them everything the way it was. And if you know the way Americans reason, he has broken that thing permanently. Next time he wants to come back, they just check you've been there, you came back, you are not a flight risk. They don't worry again. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? What happened? It's simple. God just showed him, his own, he was in quotes lucky, in quotes now, that he had it by himself. In fact, not he had both ways. He had failed before severally too. A friend of mine told me once, he said he lives in Canada. I don't know about now, but that time, getting a Canadian visa was twice as hard as getting an American one. And he was living there. He said he wanted his mother to come and visit. They had tried everything. Then one day, he just downloaded from our website Anatomy of Prayer. And I talked about prayer from the heart, that is just sincere, not claiming anything, not just sincerely depending on God. He said he sat on the stairs in his house, just sat down there and said, God, give my mother a visa. I want her to come and visit. The next time she went to the embassy, they didn't ask questions. Bam, yeah, off to Canada. Listen. God has to collapse many of the things we put our hope in so that our hope can be in him alone. Then when our hopes are now in him, then he can use many of those things. And those who don't understand, we think that those things are the reasons why we are making progress. They are the reasons why we are having our needs met. They are the reasons why doors are opening for us. And God says, no, it's just that I first explained to these my children that I am God and there is none else. What am I saying? So, you go through many things in life. You are a child of God. Say amen.
Amen.
The devil is not your problem. You have only one problem in life. His name is Satan. You say, Pastor Bank, what's the difference? Satan is a tempter. Are you getting my point? Satan comes to tempt. So, tackle Satan by resisting what? Temptation. Resist sin. And the devil is not a problem. In your life, always reason around God. Did you hear what I said? If anything happens to you, first question is, God, what are you saying through this? What does the word of God say about this? That God, what are you saying through this? What does the word of God say about this? That's how you reason. Because many, listen, forget this devil. The devil now came. He wants to take my job. I'm telling you, you can't take my job. Listen, it's because you love the job. I don't know what I said. Say, oh, loving God, you love that job. Shout from now till tomorrow. The devil will not take it. God will take it. Like I said, faith does not mean I can get things. That's not the meaning of faith. Faith first understands that things or no things, my life is complete in Christ. That is the first thing. Before I start saying, I receive it, I receive it. I first said, eat, receive it or not receive it. Eat, you are not my life. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Eat, you are not my life. I can receive it, but right now, let's first get the point. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall a man live. So we know that bread is, so there's nothing like without bread, a man can't survive. We know that a man can survive without bread, without human bread. There are many scriptures to show us that it can happen. So when we are receiving from God, it is not because our life depends on that thing. Faith just, first of all, establishes those things for us. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about God-centered prayer. So how do Christians pray about their issues? That's where I'm going with all this my talk. I said there are two ways God wants to communicate the knowledge of himself to you. Number one, by teaching. We are sitting down here, we are sharing the word of God. There are many things he wants to say, we can't hear it. Then that one, he goes through our experiences. I said this without any equivocation. Everything you do in life is so that you may discover the face of God. My best example, well, not my, one of my examples I use a lot. There are certain parts of God I couldn't grasp until I got married. Now, I didn't know I didn't grasp it though. That's something I want you to understand. Peter thought he could understand everything Jesus was saying. Yeah, he thought so. He thought so. He thought he understood. Jesus said that all of you will run away. Peter said, I understand that all of them will run away. That was his conviction. That I have never trusted this Judas. The way he steals, any man that steals will run. As far as I was concerned, and Thomas, when you won't believe, how will you stick? He was so sure of it. John's problem, as far as he was concerned, he was too young. So John will run. Is it Andrew, the one, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guy, purposeless, there was no problem in him. He can't stay. Understand? I have fished before in the center of the storm. that was all that Peter was thinking. He was sure. What am I going to explain? Many things in life you think you know. You think you understand. And that's the problem. The ones you think you know. So God said, no problem. I was telling you that, listen, it was when after I got married, I began. Look, my wife will do some things to me. I will go and apologize to God about what I did to him many years ago. Why? Because, you know, you don't know what it means to disobey God until you have been disobeyed when you have authority. You won't understand. You know, your daddy, talking about experience of life, I was in my CMAC's office. That's the CMAC is the second in command in the hospital. The CMD being the biggest. Then the next person is the chief, what they call CMAC. So this Ebola matter was up. Of course, the teaching hospital. So there was a reason why I got called. We were just discussing about it because my department handles some things. So just talking about Ebola, the head of the nurses, she was there. We're just talking. So when I started saying some things, now listen to this. Then I said that, what if a child, when she goes to school, or he goes to school, gets Ebola? And I say, you will go and isolate and quarantine that child alone. So the woman said, which mother will agree? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So we began to discuss. Hey, he said, Lila, let me just collect the Ebola from my child first. Two of us will now collect the Ebola, and then you can now quarantine us together. Do you get my point? That is the mother's love that teaches you a part of God that's otherwise difficult to understand. Because I was just imagining it. Even me as a father. That is, there are certain parts of God that just being a husband, being a wife, being a mother, teaches you, which you otherwise would never have understood. I'm telling you, therefore, parenthood is not so that you can brag me to have children. Parenthood is also to teach you a part of God. That's it. You go to work, your colleagues, some of them were planted, it's even that wicked one. If you're a Christian here, say amen. Your life is not an accident. Even that wicked one was planted in your life to show you what Judas did to Jesus. So when you go home next, you worship better. When they betray in the office, say, Lord, today I was betrayed. I just want to thank you that despite the betrayer, you hung on the cross. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Suddenly you are appreciating. Now, you were betrayed. Then suddenly you are appreciating God more. Listen to me. The experiences of your life were allowed by God or designed by God to teach you, to help you understand God better. Because without you understanding Him, listen, you can't experience His glory. I hope you follow my point. Therefore, remember, school of prayer, we're talking about praying. Therefore, how do I handle every situation of my life? My car suddenly has an accident. It catches fire. It gets stolen. First thing they do is, and that's how I do it, I first pause. And I, like I told you, I scan. I scan inside me. Lord, what is going on? First thing I do, God taught me that one long ago. First thing I do is to give thanks. The first thing I do is what? Give thanks. You know, many people, they've not seen trouble. I'm not saying I've seen too many troubles, but I've seen a small bit of it. And in some of those troubles, I remember the first time, it's in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. The first time my wife was pregnant, 33 weeks, the child died. And we didn't find out until suddenly went into labor all of a sudden. Rushed to hospital, called my colleague there who came. At the end of the day, just said, sorry, doc. There's nothing we can do. At the end of the day, when they cleaned out everything, we just joined hands. Father, I want to thank you because you're a good God. How do you witches? Me? There are things that don't cross my mind. Which kind of nonsense witch? Me? They don't try it. I'm like Job to them. Have you considered my servant Job? Me, consider Banky. You want to kill somebody? They know me. Everybody, you keep your distance. As far as I'm concerned, my life is hid with Christ in God. Whatever I go through, it is between me and my God. Or the devils go somewhere else. I was telling my wife today, something happened when I was a resident doctor. Those days, man, life was hard. Some people don't believe it's possible. But it really happened. I used to go flat broke halfway through the month. By the 15th, I'm broke. That is, so I used to do something. I used to quickly buy food. Once they pay salary, you stock the house a bit. So that, man, if you work. Yeah, that's the thing. And I see these young doctors buying cars. I said, man, you guys, God bless you. We didn't used to dream of that. My friend, I remember he bought a video player and TV, and we gathered to inspect it. We got that. Resident doctors. Resident doctors. They go to UNT, nowhere to park. Everybody has a car. Those days, in Loot. You can park anywhere. There was space. So space. You can park. Who's fighting you about parking space? Space is everywhere. The problem is try and take bus in front of Loot. That's how you know safe guys there. You know, that's where we congregate. Take bus. Oh, God is good. I remember those when we go to Covenant Christian Center. That's Pastor Fojo's church. At the end of service, now stroke with a stroke of one for church. And you see, all of us are going to Lucy, the Araba. We're plenty that used to come from there to church. All of us resident doctors. There was only one person that managed to have a car after some time. Now, I'm telling you something. So one of those days, I don't know where I went to. A job just came by which boys quickly gathered some money. There was an oil spill in, of course, I think by Elsa State, you know, the River State, that riverine area. And one of our chiefs was connected to some people. They got a job to go and assess the extent of damage and verify claims from the locals so they could pay. So they needed a lot of manpower. So they came to the office and recruited everybody. And the money was good. For like 1 week or 2 weeks work, you earn what would have needed to work the regular salary, like 2-3 months. My God. You thank God for me, Abby? But I was not around. It was a day that I don't know what entered my head. Either I traveled to Ado Ekiti, where I used to spend my leave to go and do church work, or I went to Benin or something, or I went to, I don't know. I just was not around. I just came to work. I came back, maybe I went somewhere. I just came back on Monday. Hey, guys, what's happening? Ah, where is Dr. Adegola? Ah, he went to Yenugua. What's happening in Yenugua? Ah, you were not here. Hey, check out to everybody. Ah, when I heard the pepper that was dropping, I collapsed on my seat. I looked up to heaven and said, God, why? What is this one you are doing? Your guy day here, you know, they roast all this while. Small pepper won't drop. You now moved me on a journey. That day I was depressed for a short while. Until a scripture suddenly rose up in my heart. And it says, quickly open to it. Let's just read it together. It's nice. Isaiah chapter 49. Now, because of time, let me just rush it so we can take our prayer, all right? He said, listen to me, old islands. I'm going to rush it, chapter 49. And pay attention, you peoples from afar. Said, the Lord has called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has... Now, notice this. He said, he has made my hand like a sharp sword. Notice something. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He said, he has also made me a select arrow. And he has hidden me in his quiver. Notice that. I'm a sharp sword. I'm a select arrow. Yet I'm concealed in his hand. And I'm hidden in his quiver. That's the person that struck me there. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Said, yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord and my reward with my God. Now, let me just do it because of time. He said in verse 6, he said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. He said, I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, notice something here. When this word came up, you know what came to my mind? It consoled me instantly. Just help me to understand that this season, stay inside the quiver. That is the summary. You're not going anywhere. You don't need any money. Stay there. I used to tell people, this is not a joke. Those days, because I didn't have money to go anywhere, I didn't used to go anywhere. Anytime you came to look for me in Luth, where I was living, you were sure I was at home. If I wasn't at home, go to my office, which is just the premises. Even if it's 12 midnight, go to that office. If I'm not there, then I went to church. If I was not in any of these three places, that's my apartment, my office, or church, I wasn't in town. I'm not kidding. It never failed. Anytime you came, that I was one of those three places. If it's not the day I went to church, check. You needed money to go to places. So God ensured I did not have, so I couldn't go to many places. But believe me, that's the reason why you are sitting down here this evening. What am I saying? This is how we pray. We want to know God. Our time has run. Let me just summarize everything I've said. This is how we pray. In the midst of every situation of life, we ask a question. Dear Lord, what is your face in this? Please, all this one of harassing yourself, behaving as if you are not blessed. If there's a curse, there's no curse in your life except you have not given your life to Christ. There's a disappointment, settle down and say, Lord, what is your face in this? Something, the devil that said, I told you, the devil cannot say except you give in to Satan. So sometimes, what is your face in this? God will say to you, you gave in to Satan. How did I do that? Then he begins to explain it to you. Except you failed at that point, you would not have been able to accept that what you did was out of order. Something happened to me. I don't know whether this is part of a good... The story came to my mind, so I'll tell it. I close. My postgraduate exams, of course, I trained... Most of you here know I'm a specialist. So I trained... And the way we do during postgraduate, during my training, you do two exams. After you start the training, the first exam is called part one. The second exam is called part two. The names are proper. The first one is part one, the second one is part two. Somebody taken to between 2 and 3 years apart. So the whole thing takes about 5 years. Mine was just under 5 years. So we're going to go to Ibadan, for example, West African College of Physicians. I had a chief. He practices in Canada now. I don't know whether he's in the US. He's a pathologist. Of course, we're training together. He was my senior. We all believe this man was very good. Now, before I went for the exam, I told everybody that, listen, I can't fail this exam. God is with me. I bragged. Is there any testimony? I said, yes, I have a testimony. He said, what's the testimony? I said, I'm going for exam on Monday. I'll be back by maybe the following Monday. And I want all of you to know that I passed the exam. And I still remember the words I used, that the examiner that will say I did not pass has not been born. My friend was afraid. One of my friends was there, he was afraid. See, who sent this boy? Now, this is the interesting part. Since then, till now, I didn't have any shadow of doubt in my mind concerning what I said. I said, I can't fit the exam. Let me just summarize the story. One of the ways God ensured, Father, thank you. Love you. Anyway, sir, you are protecting your name. So, it's good. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You know, after I've made a lot of noise like that, there was something inside me that God said is not right. I'll tell you the thing, and I'll tell you how God solved it. The day we went for the exam, my chief I was telling you about, very intelligent man. If I used to tell him those days, I said, Chief, one day I'm going to be like you. That's what we used to tell him. We used to call him Minister of Education. And he was just 2 years our senior. So he was taking his own final exam the same time I was taking my own part one. But there's what we call surgical pathology, where they give you slides, all right? You interpret and make diagnosis, 3 hours, 20 slides. So they did their own before our own. So when I saw him, I said, Chief, how was your exam? He said, it was fine. They were just two candidates. So I said, what did they ask you? Now, what was the reason? We had this general belief that some of the questions they ask the senior guys, they repeat it for us junior boys, and it's good to have a good idea ahead. So he told me, he used to call me Banky. He said, Banky, take it easy. Go there with an open mind, you won't have any problem. I was reading him, I said, Chief, what is it? Just tell me, because what's the impression? We believed he knew everything. Do you understand my point? So that anything he says must be correct. And he told me, he said, what gives you the assurance that they will ask you any of my own questions? I said, okay, you know, they normally repeat some of them now. I harassed this man until he said, okay. There was a child that we have expressed from a particular child, was an osteosarcoma. He had this one, he mentioned about 4 or 5 like that he could remember. I said, thank you. He said, Jesus, that's what I was asking. And the Lord was grieved. I went for the exam. They gave me my slides, 20. I started. Then I stumbled on the particular bone case from, they said, arm of a child. I looked at it. I knew the diagnosis. I was about to write what I knew. Then I paused. I said, but I thought I knew what it was. I said, but my chief is not wrong. Now, this is the funny part. It's not as if I saw his question. No. Are you getting my point? He was just telling me these were the things they asked us yesterday. I wanted to be... You get what I'm saying? And the Lord was grieved. So, I looked. I said, no. So I wrote our discussion instead of what was there. I did that like 2 or 3 times. 3 hours later, I was through, submitted the papers. Let me make a long story short. Now, don't jump out of your seat, all right? I failed. No, listen. You are laughing. Now, the result was not published that I failed. I'll tell you, that's why I said, just wait, pause. But the good Lord in his infinite mercies and everlasting kindness, who says goodness and mercy shall follow me. That mercy was crucially needed. I didn't know all of this is going on. I just remember my paper at the end of the day. Now, let me not tell you how God solved it. God knew this unbeliever, that unbelieving part of him is going to manifest, and we have to solve it. So what he did ahead was that one night I slept, and I dreamt of question number one. in the written work. That case was again interesting because when we went for our revision course, we were so sure that the question was so difficult, that kind of thing, that they'll give it to the senior people. Those ones, when they finish, they are qualifying, they are becoming specialists, all right? We were just halfway through our training. So one of us said, I mean, this kind of thing. It was taught in the revision course. He said, they can't ask us this kind of thing. They ask the big boys. So we're reading the small things for the small boys. Except that the good Lord knew that they were going to bring that thing for the small boys. So about a week or so before the exam, I dreamt one night. But I went for the exam, and this was question number one. This same man that I told you that is very intelligent, God now pushed him to my office for one day, our doctor's room. He just asked me one question around that area. So I told him everything I knew. He said, is that all you know? I said, oh, guys, there more. Ah. So he sat down, and for like 10 minutes, he was, firing from all cylinders, discharging stuff like he was the devil causing all the diseases. we are pathology, we study diseases. So, this is the interesting part. When he finished, I was looking at him. That's how we all respected him. I was looking at him like this. I said, oh, God, how did you learn all of these things? He opened his drawer and brought out one book. I said, please, sir, have mercy upon me. So he gave it to me. He gave it to me. Because of praying for exam also, I was only allowed to just make a photocopy of some of those pages. I thanked him. And I read it inside out. It happens to be in kidney pathology, all right, disease of the kidney. And our chief examiner, my prof, was a specialist in the kidney. He was the one that said that difficult question. With the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to before the exam. When I walked into the exam hall and I saw the question, I said, Father, thank you. I spent 1 hour, we were supposed to answer 4 questions in 3 hours. I spent 1 hour on only that question, number one. I wrote everything that the devil did to the kidney in that area. Every single thing. Everything. Now, notice though, this was what happened. When the chief examiner, who's the specialist in that area, when he saw, it was the one that marked the essays. When he saw my essay, he confessed later, he said, man, this boy writes a beautiful essay. He was so impressed. They had done that written work. Now, I don't want to be bored with the details. The exam is kind of tough because if you don't pass the MCQ, you're dead. You're gone home. You understand? So of all of us that went, we're 19 total in all the 4 fields. Only 7 of us passed the MCQ. So they had weeded off everybody. So of those of us remaining, I wrote him a fantastic essay. He said, my God, this guy is too good. And they brought in my practical scores and said he failed. The man looked. This boy that writes like this, how could he have failed? He called the other prof that marked the practical. I said, come, bring me the papers. So they sat down, went through it one by one. He just decided that you were too tough on him. This is unnecessary. They changed some things, awarded me a pass mark at the end of the day. I was so excited. So I went back home. Yo, when I went to his office, he yapped the life out of me. And he was yapping me. I was seeing what was going on. You couldn't even recognize this in my mind. I knew, sir. It was the devil. No, it wasn't the devil. It was who? Satan. I said it was Satan. In my mind, though. What pained me was that was unnecessary. If I had done what that or that man said, and I walked in with my open mind, it was breeze. It was breeze. Since that time, of course, that exam coming up a month after, that next one, people say, I heard they are bringing this. I said, get away. Hey, see this slide? It may come out. I don't want to know. This is how I kept my face straight. I learned to depend on God. By strength shall no man prevail. I learned that one like that too. I learned it like that. By the time we were going for the finals 2 years later, because the other prof, I felt I owed it to her to impress her that I was good in this job. When we went that one, this time around, Father, I was hungry, I was broke, but I had the Spirit with me. I went for the exam. That's this time around, this life, I tore the thing to shreds. Because you need to get 15 to pass out of 20. By the time my chief was telling me what I got, my argument was that, chief, no, this 19th one, I'm sure I got it. The argument was, did I get 18 or 19? That was the argument. That if that one, I went with an open mind. My mind was open completely. But it's coming to confuse me. Now, from that experience, what did I learn? To trust in God with all my heart. And not lean on human, what they call help. In all my ways, I learned to acknowledge him. And he would direct my paths. He would direct my steps. I learned that there was a time me too, I first started walking. Anything you want to look nice, you buy this, buy that. Then God sent a thief to me one day. That thief was my friend. I never met him, but he did me a good favor. He collected everything I had bought with money and carried it away. A scripture jumped into my head. What was that scripture? It says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. God used a thief to teach me that thing. I still remember when it happened. A thief only, Onyoshi, was what taught me that thing. That day, as the guy made away with all my property, a scripture was just dancing in my head. Like, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. God-centered praying. What have we learned today? In every situation of your life, God is teaching you something about himself. So you enter into a situation, what do? You ask questions. Stop chasing the devil. Stop chasing Satan. First question, Lord, what are you seeing here? What part of you? Sometimes God just says, ignore it. Just thank me for it. My word is still effective. Don't worry about this. You have not lost anything. So I say, hey, Satan, forget. Devil, don't worry about it. I say, Lord, I thank you. Because my treasure is hidden in heaven. I thank you. I lay up my treasure in heaven. Listen, anytime Job loses one thing, any Job in life, whether it's you or me, and we handle it properly, it will always be restored double. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's pray for a minute and then we'll close. I hope you are blessed today. Remember, what's God doing? He wants us to know him. If we understand God, listen, many people disappointed you. That was the purpose of the whole thing. God just wanted you to understand him better. Do you understand that? That's why we said it was the last week or the week before, that you have to forgive people. Sometimes those people were sent by God to disappoint you. God said, go and disappoint that my son. He's trusting too much in connections. So connections will frustrate him. The next time they said, hey, let's go and see this man. He said, no, who do I have in heaven but thee? And upon this earth I have desired no other. So human connection, he loses faith. If God wants to use human connection for him, well, fine, let God do it. But he doesn't go after it. If he doesn't go after it, doesn't think he has to see somebody, he doesn't go after it. Why? In the past, they failed him. In the past, they disappointed him. And in that season, he discovered the righteousness that's only in God. He said, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Let's begin to pray. Say, Lord, show me your face in the midst of my circumstances. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to know you. I want to understand you. That is the desire of my heart. That I may know you. That I may understand you. I want to see your face in the midst of my circumstances. Say, Lord, I want to see your face in the midst of my circumstances. Say, Lord, I want to see your face. That's what I'm asking you for. Say, open my eyes. Help me. You've gone through something recently. Talk about that. Say, Lord, what's your face here? What do I need to know? Because it's as you know, as you understand, that you are transformed into his glory. It's as you know and as you understand. And that's how you are transformed into his glory. It is as you know and you understand that you are transformed. That's how you can receive the glory. You will get to a point in your life, nobody will be able to disappoint you. Nobody. I've done ministry for some years, believe me. Especially when it comes to money, nobody has been able to disappoint me. Why? I learned from the beginning not to ever put my trust in anybody. I trust God alone, and believe me, he has been faithful. My wife and I were discussing the other day. We said, we just trust God, we trust him alone. And we have always trusted him so, and he has never failed. We have never in this ministry given any human being the opportunity to disappoint. Say, Lord, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. I want to know you. I want to know you. And let's just begin to give him thanks. Our time is really far gone so that we can close on time. Say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word that came forth today. Thank you for your word that came forth today. Say, Lord, thank you for your word that came forth today. It's all about the word of God. But that word is transforming us. Greatness is coming to you. If you believe that, say amen. God has put you on the path of greatness.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The Bible says, be followers of those who through faith. Now, pay attention very closely to what I'm saying. He said, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith is just accept what God is saying. Patience is wait for it. Don't be in a hurry. Faith is accept it. Let me say, tell you what God is saying specifically about you. That you have been put on a path that can only end in greatness.
Amen.
He said it's a path, so it might take a while. You will walk on that path. Don't move to the left. Don't move to the right. This is the job of the enemy. He will stay on the sides and be trying to distract you. Your friends will make progress faster than you. They will do things long before you are able to accomplish them. But this is the word of God to you. You are walking on a path that ends in greatness.
Amen.
If you move to the left or to the right, you will get some quick results. But the end of those paths is destruction. He said, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Listen to me. Your time is coming.
Amen.
Oh God. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that your time is coming.
Amen.
And it will come.
Amen.
I said it will come.
Amen.
From where you are now, patience is lay your hands on what you have to do for today and continue to do it until God brings another assignment. Don't run up and down looking for something else to do by force. If he has given you something to do today, do it. In the time of change, he will come by himself. You will know that he has come. You will know. And this is what I'm telling you again today. That time will come.
Amen.
It will come to you.
Amen.
You will not run looking for it. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Just say, Lord, I receive it. And I wait for it. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.